Good stream.
Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. I'm joined by Brother Daniel Seckham from Australia this morning. He is working his way into the Blog Talk studio. We've had just a little minor issue with invites. But Daniel, you're live on Facebook and YouTube. Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Feeling great.
Feeling great. Praise God.
Apart from the Blog Talk issue, I'm feeling good.
Yeah, let's find out what's going on there. Why don't you address everybody? I'll do a little work off the screen, and I'm going to kind of turn you loose. The thoughts that I had about today is that God is sending. You see this many times in Scripture. He's allowing, he's sending disaster into an area. The Scriptures I have in mind that I'd love to walk through at some point is Micah chapter 6 and Micah chapter 7. You know, we're living in a time where Paul writes that, you know, every man's work is going to be tested by fire, and some will lose everything they've built in the fire because it wasn't pressure proof and fireproof, and yet they themselves will be saved yet so as by fire. We're witnessing major fires in California, all kinds of issues. I'm going to turn you loose. I'm going to try to get you live on Omega Radio. I'll be right back. Say hello to everybody and move forward, please, sir.
No worries. Well, I guess I could start with talking about with what's going on at the moment. At the moment, the left is basically prepping for mass public unrest. In other words, a political apocalypse if Biden loses. If Joe Biden loses, the left are basically, they are not going to take it lying down. In fact, all hell will break loose. They have vowed that is what's going to be the case, unfortunately. So you can take – it's almost as if they are blackmailing the American people. Vote for Biden and there'll be no more violence. Vote for Trump and you can expect all hell to break loose. And it's like they are – it's almost as if they are hoping that people will cave to the fear of the violence and will crave safety enough to vote for Biden. I think it's quite pathetic. And I think if anything, it's going to cause an avalanche of people to vote Trump. I'm hoping. But the other issue is even more dire. It's the situation that if the election was to drag out, And what some of the pundits are saying is that on election night, it could very well be a landslide in favor of Trump. But in the coming days, it's almost as if that the left have got enough time to generate enough postal votes to tip the balance in Biden's favor. It seems that is what they are working towards. And even Mark Zuckerberg has come out, Hillary Clinton has come out and said that we should take all the time it needs. They're saying it could be days before a winner is actually decided. So again, it's almost as if they are taking their time to ensure that they have enough mail-in ballots to tip the balance in Biden's favor. Now, let's just, if by hypothetical it's too close to call, what that could mean is it could actually mean that the election is decided by the Supreme Court, as it was in the case of George W. Bush and Al Gore. So that being the case, then that poses a massive problem, because the deciding vote is Chief Justice John Roberts. And as we have seen previously, in fact, just recently, John Roberts has voted with the liberal wing of the Supreme Court. And he's done it on deciding votes in regard to abortion and also the other big one, and that is in regard to adding gender identity to the Civil Rights Act in regard to this Discrimination Act. So John Roberts is not your conservative. In fact, he is very much a loose cannon. You're not going to know where he's going to vote. And as of recently, as I mentioned, Chief Justice John Roberts has been voting to the left of the Supreme Court. And that's a massive issue, especially if it comes down to the wire, and if it means that the Supreme Court will have to decide the election, John Roberts will more than likely vote left. He has shown his colors as a die-in-the-wool, never Trumper, and that's a major concern.
Hey, Daniel, just quick, did you receive the, and that's incredible information, I hope people are really taking note to it, did you receive the invite from Blog Talk Radio yet?
I did.
All right, let's see if we can get you live on Blog Talk so the people that are listening there will not go bye-bye. And want to say good morning to everybody on Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Daniel Seckham. He's calling in from Australia, talking about these political issues going on in our country. And everybody is getting the sense of this is the, you know, the revving up moment, the ramping up of end time events. And so, again, welcome to the broadcast. God bless you. And are you hooked in now, Daniel? Let's see.
I am logging in.
All right. And I'm going to, while you're doing that, Phil's going to let us know what's going on here. Hello, Phil. Are you tuned in right now to Blog Talk Radio?
Yes. I'm catching Daniel on Blog Talk.
You are catching Daniel. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Very good. That's
I
what
say
we
good
need.
Good day, mate.
It's good. He says good day, mate.
Good day.
Good day. Well, we have a bunch of people here in Northwest Arkansas, Daniel, waiting for your, if you're not arriving for the Feast of Tabernacles, setting something up where we're going to have you one of our meetings in, like we're doing right now, where you could address the body for Tabernacles. That should be a really good time as well. So one way or the other, Daniel Seckham will be joining us at the Feast of Tabernacles. All right. So Daniel, go ahead, pick up where you're at. It looks like everything is a go right now. And, you know, one funny thing I heard. There was a clip of Joe Biden saying with his finger pointed, government has failed you. And then beneath it, it says he's been in government 47 years. And there's another list of about 10 people that have been there for 30, 40 years. And they keep blaming President Donald Trump for the problems in our country. And yet these people have been in government forever. What is that all about besides hypocrisy?
Well, it just goes to show. And look, I agree with Senator Ted Cruz, who tried to introduce legislation to introduce term limits term limits for congressmen and for senators, which I think makes a lot of sense, which means it will get rid of career politicians and will ensure that there is a fresh intake of fresh faces of aspiring congressmen and women and aspiring senators as well. So I think that would be a step in the right direction to get rid of the career politicians who inevitably end up wheeling and dealing and end up making a lot of money because of dodgy deals on the sides. In fact, that would clean up a lot of the corruption that you have in the within the Beltway, that's for sure. So I think that that would be a step in the right direction, because many of the politicians, congressmen as well as the senators, many of them are making lots and lots and lots and lots of money. And you have to ask yourself, where is all this money coming from? How are they becoming so enriched? You know, Nancy Pelosi is another one. How is she a multimillionaire? And you really, it really does beg the question. I think it might have been, I'm trying to think who was it, might have been Eisenhower or it might have been Truman. But one of them said, if you're getting yourself rich while being a politician, then you're not really being a politician, or something along those lines. Someone might actually have the proper quote, but it should send alarm bells. In contrast, President Trump has left his lavish life to become a public servant and is basically donating his salary to good causes. So there you go. You have an admirable contrast there, that's for sure.
Hey, Daniel, with that being said, I want to just walk a little bit through a certain passage that it's one of those moments where I sit back, I read this, you know, you're in prayer, you're asking the Lord, you know, how would you inspire us to think and what is that? And I came across and actually taught it in a Bible study last night, or shared it, not taught it. In Micah chapter 6, I found this very compelling, and it's one of those passages of scripture that just brings the absolute divide and understanding of what God is doing and removes all the gray area out of the way. So if I may, just for a moment, read out of Micah chapter 6, and then we'll kind of address this as we go. It's a dirge. It's very sad in one way. It's very grieving. The people I was talking with last night were sitting around the table saying, these are very sad days. And these are elderly people in their 70s and, you know, that have been in this country. They have family that have fought for this country. I mean, just you go on down the list. They know, and they love the Lord, and they're heartbroken and grieved over what they're seeing going on in our country, in Australia. They're talking about that as well. And, the prophet Micah begins in chapter 6, verse 1, "Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice." And in the Living Translation, basically God's telling Israel, hey, why don't you guys right now bring your complaint against me? I want you to, and let the mountains be your witnesses, and let them hear you. And then he says, controversy, and you strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. And so here what it's referring to is a nation, Daniel, that has fought against God. They are tired of serving God. They don't want God anymore in their society. And so the Lord is addressing them through the prophet Micah, saying, what's the problem here? What's your complaint? And then he says, well, I've got a complaint against you too. And I felt very strongly this is a now word for this nation, where God has done amazing things. And if you will, verse 3, "Oh, my people, what have I done unto you? And wherein have I wearied you? Testify against me." And again, in the other translation, "What have I done to bore you? Why are you so bored with me?" He's dealing directly with his people. And then he tells them, "I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I redeemed you out of the house of the servants. I sent before you Moses, Aaron, Miriam. Oh, my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim and Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord." In other words, he wanted to curse you, but I put it in the mouth of Balaam to bless you. I delivered you. And it's almost like God said to America, listen, I brought you through a wilderness. I brought you through wars, and I brought you. Look what I've done. And this could be applied to an individual. It could be applied to anybody. I set you free from addictions and bondages. And God is saying to his people, what is the problem? Verse 6, wherefore shall I come before the Lord? And now they're asking in a mocking way to a degree, should I bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man. The answer is no. What is good? And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. And then quickly, verse 9, the Lord's voice cries unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see your name, hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it. Setting disaster on the land. Let the wise man hear. And that's what I love about that that Living Translation. God saying, I'm sending disaster. The wise man will know. And then he says that there and there are yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measures, that is an abominable or abomination. Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances? So he goes into the crimes that have been committed. And I'll stop right there right now. But the flavor of Micah chapter 6 and 7 seems to be what God's dealing with in our own country, because, Daniel, from my understanding, America is a Christian nation, deemed so by the Supreme Court twice in our history, and we're being judged as such, kind of like Israel. Would you agree with that to some extent?
Absolutely. What's interesting is there is a great lack for a country that is, for the most part, is founded on and has a practice of regular Thanksgiving. There is a generation that has been raised up that is the opposite of Thanksgiving. They are entitled. That really is the opposite attitude of a thankful heart. It's a heart that feels entitled. You owe me, without any sense of Thanksgiving. And that really sums up the coming generation. That really does sum up the millennials. And that is a really worrying, worrying trend. In fact, in the book of Judges, you will find a very ominous passage. And it says this in Judges chapter 2, verse 10. It says, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. I think that really sums up America right now. Mm-hmm. With this generation coming through. They don't know the Lord. They don't know the Lord. And this is a new generation, the millennials that are coming through, who know neither the Lord nor what he has done for America. I think that's a poignant thing to say. The other thing that I will say is that America is also following very closely to the principle that you find in Deuteronomy chapter 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on earth to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. And that's applicable to America, comparing to where she came from and in the lead up to your War of Independence. It goes on to say, to humble and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciples his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Then it says, observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, with brooks and streams and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. I mean, that's the same with America. America is deeply, is a deeply blessed land. But then it goes on to this, and this is the paragraph that I think I really want to drive home. Listen to what God says. But when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. In other words, be thankful. It says, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and your flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, listen to this, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today, America, that you will surely be destroyed. Now, I added America in there, sure, but I think this is a word for America. Yep. In verse 20, it says, like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God.
Daniel, the wisdom of Scripture is absolutely awesome. The wisdom of God. And what is being said, and if you're listening to this broadcast with your heart, if you're listening, if you've been listening and paying attention to God, the scriptures that Daniel is reading, the scriptures in Micah goes on and starts saying there's not one honest man left in the earth. He said that they lie so much, they're so used to lying, they can't even speak the truth anymore. I mean, he goes on and says the very best of them, talking about his own people, are but a briar. It's a very profound moment, and he gives this detail. What you're hearing is that God is saying, and I know he's working against mindsets and ideas and prejudices and you know, all kinds of things in men's hearts, believers. But what God is saying, saints, I'm allowing disaster to come to your land. I am undoing your nation. I'm going to break it. It is going to collapse. You're not going to save America. America has been warned for a generation, and America has decided to not repent, but to rebel even more. And so now her time of calamity is coming, and they're still going to try to control it, but the days are coming. There will be no control over the forces that I am sending to break you. And God has been forewarning, Brother Daniel, all of his saints who have an ear to hear that want to know the truth and don't want to just make God's fit into their paradigm or desire, that the judgment, the inevitable righteous judgment of God that we've seen from the beginning of time is now visiting our nation. How many phone calls have I gotten in the last 24 hours? Pray for my family. Just got one a moment ago. David's on there. Pray for my family. They're evacuated out of California. 1 o'clock in the morning last night. Patricia and I wide awake. Let's take a look. What's going on? Maybe there's something happening. We turn on the late news at 1 o'clock in the morning, and they're talking about these unprecedented disasters, these burning fires where you're seeing people that are pressing into a little water source because they're surrounded by fire. The judgment, 90% of a town in Washington wiped off the face of the earth in fire. Why isn't the news, you know, right now talking about the realities that are going on? The United States of America is being destroyed before our eyes, but the propaganda tools out there, Daniel, make it look like, well, everything's okay. We're still in this political battle. It's a facade. And what the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, is that the United States of America is being completely set up for its collapse. Now, is the hardcore truth. If we're wrong, then the Bible is wrong. And I don't think it is, Daniel.
I don't think it is. And listen, with what I was saying earlier, I was talking about how the left is prepping for November. And they are prepping like if Trump wins, they have vowed for absolute chaos in every city in America. Like they are just going to run riot. And they're doing it in a sense to hold America hostage, to hold the American people hostage. You know, vote Biden or else. Vote Biden and you'll have peace. And or if you vote Trump, they'll be held to pay for. That's essentially what they're saying. By the way, you might remember Pastor Dana Coverage, was it?
Coverstone.
Remember Coverstone or something? Remember the vision that he had. Now, listen, you've got to be careful. We don't put stock into dreams and visions as equal authority to the word of God.
Correct.
But they can be
confirming.
That's right. Now, in his vision, in fact, the dream that he had, which I think was the beginning of it, was last year when he first had the dream. And that was he saw March, the calendar of March, and he saw a tap, tap, tap. And then he saw the calendar of June, and then he saw a finger go tap, tap, tap. And then he saw the month of September, and he saw a finger go tap, tap, tap. But then he saw the month of November, and then he saw a fist smash it, and the whole calendar exploded into pieces. Now, March, we had the coronavirus outbreak all over the world, and in particularly in the US. It wreaked havoc and it shut down. In fact, it basically put Trump's incredible economy on life support, and everything shut down. Everyone went into lockdown. The kids were taken out of schools. Life just completely was turned on its head in March. Then fast forward to June, and then we have the George Floyd riots and the rise of BLM, when really, gosh, it's such an evil Marxist organization. But now the political sway that they have now is just incredible. I mean, Portland have been rioting for 100 days straight, 100 days straight. So there is incredible unrest. It's the American cities, especially the Democrat cities, are extremely volatile. And now, coming up to September, now we do know that there is going to be a massive rally. I think it's going to be on the 29th of September, where people are going to rally. Leftists will be rallying to the White House. And basically, this is a revolutionary meeting, which means that they will be pushing for revolution. Good luck. But I think it's just going to be, again, it's going to be another one of those tap, tap, taps. And it's going to be one of those chaotic moments, as we saw in June for September. But when we get to November, I think that is when we are going to see an absolute pandemonium. As I mentioned, the left are gearing up for that. If Trump wins, all hell will break loose. Furthermore, I was listening to Fox News yesterday. No, it was this morning. I was listening to an expert. He's an expert on Chinese relations, basically on the geopolitics of China. And this expert was saying that China, I thought it was really unusual with what he said. Well, interesting with what he said, and also very sobering. He said that China, he said that Chairman Xi basically has said that they have the divine mandate of heaven to rule the world. So Chairman Xi has said that China has the divine mandate to rule the world.
And he's right.
And as of this month, the Chinese Navy is now larger than the United States Navy, and they now have technology that edges out America where it counts, especially in regard to hypersonic missiles, etc.
Daniel, let me ask you this. Let me just ask you this before you go on. The reason why I said, and he's right about the divine mandate from heaven to rule the world, is because when I look at the book of Revelation, chapter 13, and we talk about that great red dragon, we know that scripture called Egypt the great dragon. So we have the Bible interpreting itself. Egypt was the great dragon. Pharaoh was the man of sin. So a great red dragon today, you see China, their symbol is a great red dragon, a dragon society. And you see that they are communists. And so there's your red look into things. So scripture does say that the dragon will give power to the beast, probably the Islamic empire at that point, as we understand scripture. So it's true that perhaps these things are lining up, that China will come to a position of power. Russia will join, North Korea, Iran, the Middle East. All these forces are going to decimate the West for their hypocrisy.
Well, you know that in the book of Jeremiah, God says of Nebuchadnezzar, God refers to Nebuchadnezzar as my servant.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, three times in the book of Jeremiah, God refers to him as my servant, Nebuchadnezzar. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
How God can raise up a nation to use that nation as judgment upon another nation. And I think that's very, very sobering. And the other thing about China is this. Is that they, and this is what this Chinese expert said. He's not Chinese himself, but this is what this expert said in regard to China. He said that there is a closing window of opportunity because the world is feeling very trepidatious about China and they are shutting down trade with them. They're refusing to trade. In fact, they are decoupling their economies from China because they see China as a massive threat. Now, that decoupling is going to impact China massively economically. That economic ramification will not bite China until probably another 12 months or so down the line. It's not going to really affect China right now, but down the line it will. And China has this window of opportunity that if they strike now, if they strike within the next 4 to 6 months, then they can capitalize on this window of opportunity where they are in a position of strength and they also have a monopoly over the United States in regard to hypersonic weapons, because the United States is still developing and testing their hypersonic weapons. They haven't actually got them out. So it's almost as if the impetus is upon China. And it's like they are in a position where they need to strike while the iron is hot. And I think that's a very big cause for concern. So that said, this November, and here's the other thing too, which is really important, is that China is rooting for Biden to win. Okay. Remember what Biden said? Biden said, China, they're not bad guys. You know, remember when he said that? Mm-hmm. You know, and again, Biden's son, Hunter, I think he made something like $3 billion off the Chinese or something crazy like that. Might be even more. I can't remember. Or 30, it might have been $30 million. That's sorry. He made $30 million he made off a Chinese deal. So there you go. I mean, if Biden gets in, it's all over. And Trump was right. I think he tweeted today, or was it yesterday? Trump tweeted and said, if Biden wins, China wins. And he's absolutely right. Now, if Trump wins in November, it will be the signal for China basically to, okay, we need to strike now or we're never going to see this divine mandate come to pass. So the it really could be November could be a massive, massive powder keg, and it could be far bigger than we could ever possibly anticipate.
So trying to get imagery of what things are going to look like in the United States in November. And Daniel, I think in all fairness, you and I recognize that we are particles of dust in the universe. Okay. Mm-hmm. If not for the glory of Christ in us, the hope of glory, we are nothing. We get that. We are particles of dust. And the only good thing about us is Jesus Christ. But these particles of dust, God revealed before coronavirus ever hit this earth in our country. I shouldn't say the earth, in our country, before it ever showed up, God gave us Isaiah 47:11. An evil is coming from where you do not know. A mischief will rise. You will not be able to put it off. Disaster will come suddenly. That's the paraphrase of Isaiah 47:11. And the very next day, we start hearing about coronavirus. And I'm just bringing the word of God into this because it needs to have preeminence in everything. And people said, well, where did this come from, this evil thing of coronavirus? Well, I think it came from Wuhan. And then questions, we don't know where it came from. And then, of course, we're going to try to put it off. We want to have the churches open by Easter, everybody said. They weren't able to put it off. The scriptures were being fulfilled perfectly. The only thing not fulfilled yet is sudden destruction will come. And so we expect that. And then God spoke to us about Ezekiel 14. That there are four sore judgments of the Lord that are going to be released upon a land that does what we do. And then Brother Michael looked at that and said, hey, in a surfing mentality, that's four waves. That's called a set. And we all wait for the fourth wave because it's going to be the biggest wave. So we said, okay, there will be four waves, not four sore judgments. The four waves is what we equated them to. Coronavirus first wave. So we predicted on the airwaves before anything happened in Minnesota that the next wave would be civil disobedience and anarchy. And sure enough, it came. Then we heard the third wave will be the unsheathing of the sword of war. And that's what we're looking for. This wave of anarchy and civil disobedience will pass. The next wave is cresting, and it will crash in war. The fourth wave will be lights out, which we believe is an electromagnetic pulse, a darkening of the earth to some degree, whether it be spiritual, symbolic, or literal, something to that effect. And so what we're saying as particles of dust, having nothing within ourselves to get anything, is that God is showing us through his word what he's doing, and it's all lining up perfectly. So get ready for war.
Yep. 100%. And by the way, Vincent, let me just read you this. And look, I need to be careful because I am confident that this particular vision is authentic, but this might need to be, I'm not 100% sure whether George Washington actually did write this. And obviously I'm talking about George Washington's three visions of America.
Sure.
You've heard of that, haven't you?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Yeah,
or the angel.
Yeah.
The
and what I think, yeah, that's right. And what I think is most interesting, he talks about those three perils, the three great perils. And obviously the first great peril was in regard to the War of Independence. And the second great peril was in regard to the Civil War. But the third the third and most fearful peril hasn't happened yet. And I'll just read it because I think it's very, very interesting. and it's not that long, but I think it's really interesting. It says, then my eyes beheld a fearful scene. From each of these continents arose thick black clouds that were soon joined into one. And throughout this mass there gleamed a dark red light. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
A dark red light. A dark red light, by which I saw hordes of armed men. These men, moving with the cloud, marched by land and sailed by sea to America, which country was enveloped in the volume of cloud. And I dimly saw these vast armies devastate the whole country and the villages, towns, and cities which I had seen springing up. As my ears listened to the thundering of the cannon, clashing of the swords, and the shouts and the cries of millions of millions in mortal combat, I again heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." Where the voice had ceased, the dark, shadowy angel placed his trumpet once more to his mouth and blew a long and fearful blast. So listen, again, we don't put much stock into these things, but I thought it was interesting to actually mention that.
Absolutely.
And again, yeah, and I think also too, I think it was Pastor Dana, as we mentioned before, in regard to his dream that he had with the finger tapping on those things. I think he actually also saw China or Russia. I can't remember. You might remember, Vincent. But he also saw foreign troops on American soil. And we might think that that would never, ever happen. But
probably both.
If the left get their way, they would put America into an incredible position of weakness. And it would make America ripe for a foreign power to come in and to do what they want.
All right, Daniel. So with these comments and with this instruction that we're receiving, God is communicating a message to his saints upon this earth. It's not an American-centric gospel. We know that. It's not the American gospel. It's none of that. The gospel is meant to affect the entire globe, and his people are all over this earth. And everywhere in the world, those who have the Holy Spirit believe in Yeshua. They've come to the cross. They're born again. They've received the grace of God. They read their Bible. Everybody is in agreement. Something's wrong globally. They're looking to the greatest nation on the face of the earth, America, and what it's going through. The throes of death are upon us. But what does God want his kids to know right now? And I believe what God is saying to the Christian community, the sons and daughters of the Most High God, born again saints, members of the body of Christ, you are on a journey. You are passing through this earth. America is not your home. You are to overcome. You are to endure. Your affections are not on this earth. They're on things above. And so we've got to stop thinking the whole idea is to save America. No, the whole idea is let all the nations of the earth come down and the kingdom of God rise up, right?
100%. Listen, when Jesus comes and he establishes his millennial kingdom, we don't even know if America will continue to exist by that stage. Okay, we don't know. What we do know is, in fact, it's a very strong case to be made, is that in the millennial kingdom, we will go back to 70 nations, as was in the table of nations in Genesis chapter 10. So we don't know what the makeup of the millennial kingdom is. And the thing is that be very careful not to hold on to onto nationalism. Don't hold on to it too dear. I mean, it's important, just as, you know, the thing is, and God instituted the nations, okay? There's no question about that. And also, too, there's no question that God has inspired the founding of the United States. There's no question about that either. But don't hold on to America. Hold on to Jesus Christ. Look to him and keep your heart pure before him. And constantly pray for your country. Absolutely pray for your country. But the reality is that America is a thing of this world. It's not going to be carried on into eternity. But that said, the Israel will. Israel absolutely will, because God has said that it will. And Jesus will reign. In fact, Jesus will be the king of Israel, just as he is the king of the Jews. So we know that. But as far as America is concerned, well, we don't know. We don't know the destiny of America. Most probably, when the millennial kingdom comes along, we're probably going to go back to 70 nations. And we don't put your hope in the longevity of the United States. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, amen. And so we should be viewing things. Right now, the world is being formed and fashioned and undergoing a transformation and a change to produce what the Bible calls a one-world government. And the Antichrist, the devil, the beast, they'll all be ruling and reigning over all the kindreds of the earth, all tongues, all nations. We know that. But it's a 3.5-year gig, Daniel, where the true one-world government is going to come under the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua, HaMashiach. He's going to have his one-world government for 1,000 years and then on into eternity.
Yeah, that's right.
And so we can't get so bogged down in what the Lord is doing. What we do right now as believers, we follow the cloud when it moves. When the cloud moves, we move. When the pillar of fire moves, we move. We have to be a mobile tabernacle of godly men and women that are following the Lamb whithersoever he goes, spirit-filled, spirit-led, spirit-inspired, Holy Spirit, not the artificial, but the authentic seal of the living God, knowing that our citizenship is in heaven. It's not on this earth. They're changed in a moment, or they're going to be resurrected into glorified bodies. This whole momentary, temporary experience on earth is not where it's at. Where it's at is in the spirit of the living God. We don't get afraid about what's going on in the world. We know that we guard our hearts. We guard the love of God. We don't get offended. We don't get hooked by the devil and brought into a trap. We obey the instructions because they will lead us into victory. And we need to be the loudest witness on the face of the earth. The body of Christ is on this earth to tell the world God is coming to reclaim what is his. The rightful heir of the universe, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, it is legally his. He purchased it with his blood. We are his people to be his salt and light, his witnesses in the earth. Daniel, this should be the most incredible time on the face of the earth, and yet we see sorrow everywhere. We live in a climate, in a culture of Christianity is schizophrenic. No, but the best of them, like Micah said, is like a briar. The very best. Father against son, son against father, mother-in-law against daughter, daughter against mother. He goes on and says, your worst enemies are right in your own home. And look at the condition of our country. It is insane. The nations are in an uproar. There are signs of the times everywhere around us. So what do the saints of God really do to wake up knowing that a great sign is in the earth? The mockers and the scoffers saying, oh yeah, we've heard this stuff before. You people are Looney Tunes. We're not Looney Tunes. I mean, we've lost our minds, the Adamic carnal minds, but we've received the mind of Christ and we know the truth right now. Why are so many people still wrestling?
Yeah, that's a great question. Look, there is a spirit of drunkenness that, or a spirit of stupor that is over the United States at the moment. And it's a real worry. It's almost like you can see this crazy, there's no other way to explain it but the powerful delusion. The delusion is just so incredibly powerful, like the fact that they are believing some of the most ridiculous things, like that men can be women and women can be men, and the whole homosexual issue. It's just really, really, really extraordinary. In fact, there's this drunkenness, like this. You know, it's interesting, Vincent, because there was this Iranian couple, a Christian Iranian couple, and after living in America for a couple of months, they decided to move back to Iran. And the reason why, the wife told her husband, she said, there is a satanic lullaby here.
Mm.
All the Christians are sleepy, and wow. I'm feeling wow. sleepy.
Wow. Wow.
So they moved back to Iran.
Isn't that amazing?
Think about that.
Yeah, Daniel, let me just remind you, you know this story. California is on fire right now, right? I mean, from Canadian border, all the southern part of this nation, but California into it. California, Seattle, Portland, Oregon, all the way on the western coast have been so rebellious against the Lord. And just recently, the legislature in California passed a law for pedophilia that grown men could have sexual intercourse, of anal intercourse, with a minor. I mean, there are already some laws there, but this new law came out, and they're trying to say, well, it doesn't mean that, doesn't say that. Yes, it does. There's a 10-year gap. You could be 18 years old and have sexual, you know, relations with an 8-year-old, and they make this light and legal. You know, people ought to sit back and say, thank you, Father. Thank you that you're not asleep. Thank you for your righteous judgment. And you know, in the book of Revelation, that's what they do, Daniel. They cry out, and they're rejoicing at the destruction of Babylon.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. And I don't think we're beginning to see the full extent of the wickedness. I think America is yet to say, hold my beer. You know what I mean when I say that?
Yeah, like I'm gonna punch your lights
hold
out.
Hold my beer. You watch what I do now.
Right.
And I think America is going to brazenly double down. And you know what is interesting, Vincent? Have you noticed that United States Marshals have been uncovering these children that have been caught up in sex slavery, that have been caught up in human trafficking? They're discovering 19 kids at a time in different places where they've just been held captive. It's just extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary. What I thought is interesting is that within, and look, I know that there is a number of people that disagree with me in regard to my understanding that Mystery Babylon could represent America.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that there is a very strong case for that to be made. But one of the things that I think is interesting about Mystery Babylon is the fact that it talks about and human beings sold as slaves.
Souls of men. Mm-hmm.
The souls of men. Yep. It says cargoes of cinnamon and spice and incense and myrrh and frankincense and wine and olive oil and fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and horses and carriages, and human beings sold as slaves. It's almost as if America, and look, human trafficking is an issue that is all over the world, but America seems to be really,
involved.
It's a major proliferation. Mm-hmm. Major proliferation of human trafficking going on in America right now. And I just think it's going, as America becomes more depraved, I believe it'll get worse. It will exacerbate. And I think that is why we see that where it says that the souls of human beings and human beings sold as slaves.
Yeah.
Look, it's happening right under your noses. You know, even I was surprised when I was in Texas. In fact, some of my Texas friends, I think Sonia's listening, yes, she hears.
Mm-hmm.
But human trafficking in Texas is massive. It's huge. In fact, one of my friends in Texas, she mentioned that that her daughter was almost kidnapped into a human trafficking racket. It's horrifying, absolutely horrifying, and it's prolific, absolutely prolific going on within the United States. As an example is the Super Bowl. Every year for the Super Bowl, the human trafficking in regard to that event is off the charts, off the charts. It's staggering, and it's going on, and I just think it's interesting how we see that
in Babylon.
In Yeah.
In Babylon. So again, this is the dumbing down. This is Jeffrey Epstein, what is now known as Pedophile Island. Here's a man that was operating with the highest, most powerful politicians in the world. We're going to his private estate in New York and in island over there. And they had to kill him because he was going to talk. So the nations of the earth watched a man under 24-hour surveillance get murdered. And the dumbing down, there's nothing. Sweep it under the carpet, send it away. Why? Because maybe those high-powered politicians are running for president. Maybe the people that hung out together that supported transvestitism and transgenderism and pedophilia, i.e. Barack Hussein Obama, and who lit up the White House with the rainbow colors of the homosexual agenda. Maybe these people were so intrinsic to it, they needed to kill it. But look at the 360 million people in this country that are basically dead silent, not only under their nose, before their eyes, but there's no response. That, to me, is terrifying.
It is. And listen, Jeffrey Epstein is not an outlier. There are many Jeffrey Epsteins, okay, that haven't been caught.
That's right.
They haven't been caught.
They're walking in the halls of government.
Going on. I mean,
yeah.
That's right. Absolutely. In fact, it's going on, except it's just being covered up. And listen, and this is why the deep state is absolutely petrified. They are mortified. And this is why they are fighting like absolute crazed madmen to get Trump out of power, because Trump is trying to clean up the swamp. He's trying to shine a light in the darkness. And the deep state is absolutely in a frenzy. They are absolutely mortified because of they don't want to be exposed, and that's why they're fighting so hard to get rid of him.
Yeah.
So interesting.
The deception right now, Daniel. We talk about this all the time. The deception.
Yeah.
The deception may be deeper than what anybody could ever imagine, that our little peon brains could be. You know, the devil's figured out mankind 6,000 years of working through this human nature. He knows the blindness and the deception. A card trick, a parlor trick, gets people blown away by, wow, how did you do that? What kind of sophisticated principalities and powers are working to deceive the minds of the masses? And the Bible says the God of this world has deceived their minds. So the deception in the last days will be greater than anything. The only light of truth we have is in the scriptures. And even that, if we're not careful, could be twisted into a lie. Daniel, my God, we are in this time. Who knows who anybody is? We shouldn't have our man on Donald Trump. We shouldn't have him on Joe Biden. We shouldn't have him on the Pope or any other man. All eyes on Jesus. Final word before we have to go today.
Well, look, my final word is this, and it goes back to what we were talking about before, just in regard to where America is. And, you know, in an apt description of the circle of civilizations is found in a letter from Lord Macaulay. This is dated on May the 23rd in 1857. And he said this: the average age of the world's greatest democratic nations has been 200 years. And each has been through the following sequence: from bondage to spiritual faith, from faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, and from abundance to complacency. And from complacency to selfishness, from selfishness to apathy, and from apathy to dependence, and from dependency back again into bondage. And that is where America is heading right now. And look, I read 8, but listen to Hosea 13, verses 5 and 6. I cared for you in the wilderness, in the land of burning heat. And when I fed them, they were satisfied. And when they were satisfied, they became proud. And then they forgot me.
Wow. Wow. What a sad indictment. What a grievous time. to be alive on this earth, to witness something so great. It's like watching your child that you've trained up from a bambino or bambini, and you train up your child, you take it to the finest schools, you provide a good atmosphere, you turn it loose, and it becomes a monster. Come on, how many times have people seen this happen to their kids? And it's heartbreaking. And you have to trust that somehow, you know, they're going to return. And people are praying. And there is an opportune season right now. I believe God is pouring his spirit out. I really do believe for anybody that desires the Lord, there is an opportunity for great advancement in the kingdom and blessing, restoration, healing. Daniel, we're coming up to the Feast of Tabernacles, where God's intent is to roll away the reproach off of his church, off of his people. He's cleansing bloodlines through the blood of his own son, Yeshua. So we're moving into an opportune season in the midst of this crisis, and we're excited about it. We want to see the glory of God manifest in our lives, in all over the world, in his people. And there is a great moment where God is going to step in and bless the daylights out of his kids. And what does that blessing mean? More stuff? Absolutely not. A divine transformation, energy, anointing, inspiration for all of his kids. Praise the Lord.
Amen, brother.
God bless you, Daniel.
Amen.
Man, you try to get on a plane. I'm going to send Hector out there, pick you up in a Cessna. It's a three-seater. He's going to
Come out in the submarine. Come out in the submarine, and I'll swim out and hop in the submarine.
Well, we're still working on – we need to fast a little more for translation, but yeah. We'd like to get you here. Yeah, God bless you. Hey, listen, this is Daniel Seckham all the way from Australia, staying up until 1 o'clock in the morning out there. So we want to say good night. Get some good rest, Daniel. God bless you. Thanks for sharing once again. This post will be re-seen all over the internet, on Facebook, on YouTube. I want to thank you for joining us today. We'll be back tomorrow right here at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And right now, if you go to omegaradio.org, please tell everybody that you know about omegaradio.org. There's a roundtable discussion. Patricia Joy Xavier is teaching with a group of some brilliant people on deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you. Remember, tomorrow we're going to have a pretty good conversation about some important business that is part of the kingdom. I hope you'll be with us then. I'm Pastor Vince. Got to go. Shalom. Have a super blessed day.